Thank you for joining us today. I know that you could be doing a lot of other things or maybe completely distracted by some other news items, because there's been a lot of news for the last few days, and it seems to have captivated our attention. But I'm glad you're here with us. And in fact, for a few moments, I'm going to ask you to take a few moments and maybe redirect your attention. There's so much stuff in the news, and it's on our cell phones, it's on our televisions, it's on the internet, and it would be really easy to get overwhelmed by that. And so for a few moments today, I'm going to ask you to just maybe refocus. The other day I was in a grocery store in the craziness that's taking place right now. And while I was in the grocery store, I had somebody that came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor." I'm like, and they caught my attention. I'm like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And they said, "Well, I've been waving at you for like 3 minutes. I was over in the next lane and I was waving and you looked right at me and it was like you didn't even see me." And I'm like, "Well, somehow I don't know how I missed you, but I really didn't see you." And I apologized, and then it made me realize how, like, in the crush of all the people in there, and I was so focused to get in there and get my loaf of bread and that last piece of chicken in the store and the last roll of toilet paper. And then I was so focused to get in and then get out as quickly as possible. And somehow I just missed that they were there. And I apologized about that, but it made me start to think about how consuming this has been, and maybe how consuming it has directed our attention to some things that maybe could cause fear and anxiety and cause us to shelter in our houses and then maybe become lonely or depressed. And so I thought maybe I'd take a few moments here and talk to you from the Word of God and maybe get some insight from what Jesus did with his disciples, because his disciples were not all that different from us. Jesus came to the earth and he was trying to teach his disciples and ultimately us about the kingdom of God, that there's a different perspective, there's another way to view things. And so Jesus in the Bible, he taught his disciples lessons and he showed them examples of the way to live and the way to conduct themselves. He always talked to them about the kingdom of God. He talked to them about how to love one another. And then he performed miracles among them. Think about all the miracles that are recorded that Jesus did. Just astounding. At that moment, there was 5,000 men. And we say there was 5,000, but it was 5,000 men and maybe their wives and probably their children. So at least 15,000 people. And they had gathered to hear Jesus speak. And when you think about the fact that this is the only story that's recorded that in 3.5 years, like all of the gospel writers wrote this story. They all have a little bit of a different perspective, or they add different details to the story. But when you put it all together, it's a compelling message, and it's a compelling message to us. So while Jesus had been teaching one day, he had been teaching and all these people had gathered, and he had been teaching all day long. And so, you know, man, he must have been completely captivating, because they had listened all day, and now they were getting to the place where the sun was starting to set and people had been there all day, and the disciples were getting a little bit worried that maybe the people were getting antsy, and it was a remote place and there was no place to get groceries. There was no place to send people for food. And in the middle of all that, Jesus has a conversation with the disciples. And for Jesus, every moment was a teachable moment. Every moment was something that he was trying to illuminate their hearts about the kingdom of God. And so he saw this as an opportunity to tell his disciples, and maybe even to us today, that this is the way God works and this is the way God's kingdom works. And so his disciples had been seeing these miracles, and now they're sitting in this crowd with thousands of people. And a conversation comes up that, okay, these people are here. They've been here all day. They need to eat. So what are we going to do about this? And the Bible actually says that Jesus asks a question and then the disciples ask a question. But in one place where it actually records in John, the 5th chapter and the 6th chapter and the 5th verse, that Jesus poses a question to them to test them. It actually says he asked them about buying food for these people. What are we going to give to them? And he says that he asked this question only because he already had in mind what he was going to do. He already had a plan. You see, God already has a plan. He always has a plan. He's not surprised by these circumstances. He's not surprised what you're going through. He's not going to be surprised about your tomorrow. In fact, he already has a plan, and there's a purpose in all of it. And so he says, let's feed these folks. And the disciples come back and they respond back in John, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse. It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread to even give every one of these a bite. Like, Jesus, this is ridiculous. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is a little bit crazy, Jesus. That, I mean, not that Jesus was crazy, and I don't know, maybe they said he was crazy, but they had to have been thinking, like, something's not right here. Are you not catching that there's a lot of hungry people here? And then finally, somebody comes up and they say to him, okay, here's a boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish, which has to almost be preposterous because it's simply impossible to feed that many people, to take care of that many needs with that small amount of food. But what I've learned in my life is that there is nothing that disturbs Jesus when things are impossible. There's nothing that causes him to get rattled when things are impossible. In fact, Jesus loves impossible circumstances. Over and over again, it's recorded that he healed the sick. He healed those that it was impossible for them to get well. He raised those that were dead. It was impossible for them to live. He delivered those who had been outcasts from the community for their entire lives. It would have been impossible for them to have a reconciled life, and yet Jesus did something in their lives where forever changed. Jesus loves the impossible, and some of you are facing what you're thinking is impossible circumstances right now. And sometimes God allows the impossible circumstances to take place in our life so that we can almost start to really understand that we have no control over some of those things. But the awesome thing about that is just because they're out of our control doesn't mean that they're out of God's control. And so the disciples say to Jesus, like, here's this boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what good is it going to do with this size of a crowd? Here's what I'd love for you to understand today. You should never assess your circumstances according to your own resources. You should not assess where you're standing by what you have or by what you can produce. And that's what the disciples did here. That's what Philip did, and that's why they panicked, because they were being self-reliant, completely reliant on themselves. And honestly, what I love about this is Jesus allows them to struggle just a little bit. He lets them like sit in this for a little while and let them deal with this internally before he begins to work the miracle. And has that ever happened to you? It seems like you're waiting on him and you want him to produce, and you want him to produce right now, but sometimes he doesn't do it in your timing. He actually just waits, and he allows you to sit in that for a few moments for you to maybe even better understand, like, this is a big deal and this might even be impossible for you. And the Lord wants to use impossible circumstances sometimes to teach us to put our trust in him, that we're not to be reliant on ourselves, that we can trust him to do what we cannot do for ourselves. This passage says that Jesus actually, he sets this up in such a way that it's a test. And Jesus, when he puts us to a test, he doesn't put us to a test. It's like a good school teacher. A school teacher skills you, trains you, educates you, gives you information, helps you to understand, and then they give the test. But they don't give the test so that you'll fail the test. They don't give the test so that you will feel like you have learned nothing. Instead, they give you the test so you can go to the next grade. They give you the test so that you can move forward. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He has a work that he wants them to do in the future. And so here's what he's doing. He's going to give them a test to see if they pass this test. And really, the test has to do with their resources. What they see is impossible. They They assess the circumstances on their own resources. But I just want to remind you today, here's what it says in Philippians, that God will supply all of your needs. If you're in that place today where you're assessing your circumstances on your resources, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus today, the supply of your life comes from him. It doesn't come from the last place that you got a paycheck. It doesn't come from the bank. All he was doing was he was using those places to get the funds to you. And now if it's changed, he's going to create another place. He has a plan. He has a purpose, and he's going to devise something else, and he'll get that to you. He's your supply, not your job. He's your supply, not even your family. And so here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Will you consider just look back over your shoulder and look at the places in your life where you thought things were impossible, that you'd never get through them, that there was something that would never happen, that there was a supply that you lacked, and then somewhere, somehow it showed up. Will you consider taking some time while we have time? Write those down. Go back through your life and start to testify. Remind yourself of those things. God wants to remind us that our circumstances, they don't dictate our lives. In fact, our circumstances are not measured by our ability to supply our own need. Here's the second thing that I'd like for you to observe out of this story is that God wants you to be involved. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, there's this great need, here's one of the things that he says in one of the passages. He says, you feed them. You feed them. There's something that he wants you to do. He wants you to be involved in his kingdom. He wants you to be involved in the work of God. Because in that way, you start to see something bigger. You start to see that he's up to a bigger plan. You start to see that there's something that's happening in this world that maybe you've not seen. Your eyes have been closed to it. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. He wants to open your eyes for you to see something different. So he says, you're going to actually have to get into the game in order for you to start to see this. There are a lot of people that I know that they're like, well, when I get further down the road, I'll get involved in church. When I get a little bit older, I'll get involved in ministry. I'll start to do something. Maybe when I have more time, maybe I'll start to serve in children's ministry. Maybe when I get a little bit more energy, I'll go play with my kids. Maybe when I get a little bit more money, I'll do something nice for somebody in the community. Maybe if I get more confidence, I'll step up and do something for Christ. Maybe if I get more experience, I'll go and serve somewhere. There's always something that we want to fill that blanket. If I can get this, then I'll do this. If I can get to this place, I'll do that. But here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to get involved now. He wants you to be involved in the work of God. He wants you to be involved in the kingdom. There's something that he wants you to do. There's someone he wants you to talk to. There's someone he wants you to go share with. There's somebody he wants you to call on. There's a letter that you should write. There's children you should spend time with. There's time of meditation. There's time of prayer that you should get involved in. Use this time to do what God wants you to do. You do this, and if you'll do this, if you'll get the bread in your hands, if you'll get the fish in your hands, if you'll get ready to do what he wants you to do, then he'll produce the miracle and he'll feed the 5,000 with something in your hand. This passage says at the end of the day, they went home and they went home because they had been hearing Jesus teach and there was a miracle that took place. But really the story doesn't end there. It goes just a little bit further. I'm going to read just a little bit farther down into Mark, the 6th chapter. Here's what it says. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. So Jesus stays. He's going to manage the crowd. How about this? We all think that like Jesus needed an entourage. Jesus was like, guys, you go on. I'll take care of the crowd. So Jesus manages the crowd, and then listen to this. This is what he does at the end of the day. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. If there's ever been a moment we should take time. After all is said and done, like, let's make sure that we're preparing our hearts for what God's going to do and what's going to happen in our lives by spending time in prayer. If Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. And then the next verse says, now when evening came and the boat was in the middle of the sea, so the disciples are out there in the middle of the sea, and when he was alone on the land, Jesus is on the land, they're in the sea. When he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. So there was winds that were coming up. It was starting to get really choppy water, and it was starting to turn into a storm, and they're rowing as hard as they can, and it's straining. It's exerting all of their physical resources. And then it says, now about four concerns about the government. But Jesus comes walking on the water in a difficult, impossible circumstances, and here's what it says. But immediately Jesus talked to them, and he talked to them. Did you know that God wants to talk to you? Did you know that he has something to say to you, that there's a word he wants to speak into your life at this moment? In fact, I'm convinced he's talking now. It's a matter of, are you distracted? Are you missing what he's saying? And here's what he says. Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And see, as long as Jesus is in the midst, you don't have to be afraid. As long as he's walking in your direction, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be distressed. And even though you're crying out, let me just tell you, here's what the Bible does say, that he's near to those that are of a broken heart. If you're in trouble, if you feel like you're in such great distress, listen, it's just confusion, and there's doubt, and there's fear, and there's just so much taking place around you. The disciples were terrified. They were struggling. This was difficulty, but Jesus had a plan. There's a purpose in this. There's a purpose in your life in this, and so you don't have to be afraid. If Jesus is working his purpose, it's a good thing, so don't miss it. And that's what this next verse says. I want you to hear what this says. So if you just stop what you're doing and listen to this. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. But the next line puts a color to that sentence. It puts some information into that sentence that leads us in another direction. It says, they marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. It's an interesting thing to me. It's like they were marveling. It was like almost for the first time their eyes were open. Almost for the very first time. Finally, they saw Jesus. Finally, they saw who he was and what he could do. But the next line says, they had not understood. They missed the lesson in the loaves because their heart was hardened. They did not understand what Jesus was doing when he was teaching them. They did not understand what he was doing when he was putting bread in their hands to break bread in their hands. And they fed the 5,000. He did not understand. They thought Jesus taught too long. They thought the crowd was too big. They thought he should have sent them home a long time. They thought that he was just really working the thing just way too long. And this was inconvenient. And we're tired. And honestly, they missed the moment. They missed that he was right there and he was performing miracles, that he was multiplying loaves and fish. They missed the moment. They missed that God was their provider. They missed that it didn't matter what their resources was, that he was more than enough. And so Jesus is there and he's growing their faith, and he's growing their faith. Are you ready? Because they're missing this. He's preparing them for greater things. Those men in that boat would be the men who would take the gospel around the world. Those men in that boat are the reason why I'm preaching to you today. They're the reason why we have faith in Jesus. And at that moment, it looked like they were nothing. It looked like they could not survive anything, but Jesus knew what was down inside of them, and he was teaching them. He was teaching them of his kingdom. In this moment, if we're not careful, like, we'll miss the moment. We'll miss that this isn't about the stress, and it's not about the fear, and it's not about a virus, and it's not about the government. It's about that God wants to do something in your life, and he wants to do something in my life and in our church, and he wants to do something in this world. And if we're not careful, we'll be so captivated, we'll be so focused, that like the person in the grocery store calling out to me, and I'm looking right at him and I didn't even see him. Like, Jesus will be in the crowd and he'll be doing something, and we will completely miss what Jesus is doing. In fact, I'm absolutely convinced in same way that Jesus was setting these guys up for their future. And he was teaching them of his kingdom. He's been setting us up. He's been preparing us for this day. He's been preparing his church for this moment. A few years ago, we had the opportunity to move on this property at 2200 South Orange Avenue. And when we moved onto this property, we actually had people that told us it was a bad idea. They had told us, like, two churches before you had not done well, and why would you move into that place? It was a pretty negative neighborhood. And so we had decided that we were going to do it. We prayed about it and felt like it was where God wanted us to be. But there were a few days, I have to tell you, there were a few days when I'm like, I'm not exactly sure what this is about, Lord. And then in the summer of 2016, one morning, we were getting ready, come to church like every other Sunday would have been. And trying to get to the building, we could not hardly get to the building because we were surrounded by police cars. You see, Christ Church of Orlando is four doors away from the Pulse nightclub that had the attack in 2016. We were behind police lines, and at that moment, we could have missed the moment. We could have just boarded the place up and just gone home and sat in our house and been frightful for the next few days. But instead, I love the people of Christ Church. They begin to respond, and you begin to respond, and this church began to respond, and we responded to the city and to the people who were the front lines, the police officers and the first responders that were going in. We opened our church 24 hours a day, and for over 11 days, we fed well over 1,000 people. Somebody was telling me that they were having a conversation with another pastor from out of state, and they said that the pastor said to them, it was amazing that they could mobilize and do something that fast, like that day, they could start to feed 1,000 people a day. And they said, you don't know about Christ Church. What you don't know is that's who they are. Like, God had been preparing them for that moment. And it's not just that past moment. It's this moment. You see, our facility then wasn't the biggest facility. We could have said, like, if God could have only used us when we moved into the new building. It was the place he had established us. It was what he wanted us to do. He wanted us to make a difference and shine for him. And so what we've learned is that when the world is at its worst, we, the people of God, are at our best. He's been setting us up for this moment. He's been setting us up that when the rest of the world is in fear, that we don't have to be afraid because we have a God who does the impossible. We have a God who's going to walk to us wherever we are. He's going to be our provider, and then he's going to get in the boat with us. And here's what I hope. I hope that if we're not careful, like, we'll miss this moment. I hope we're going to catch this, that God's in this moment. And we could be so distressed and so fearful and have our heart hardened by the world around us that we would miss that God's up to something big and that he wants to use you and he wants to use me. He wants us to draw closer to him. He wants us to know that he's here. And some of you at this point, like, what you're going to walk out on the other side of this is full of fear and anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's not what God has for you. He wants you to see in this moment, don't miss him. He wants you to learn how not to fear. He wants you to learn how to praise him in the midst of the darkness. And it might even look like everything's like at odds with your finances. He wants you to praise him now because he's the God who supplies your needs. You can praise him in the storm. You can praise him in when you have lack. You can praise him when you're in a lion's den. You can praise him when you're in a fire because he's the man in the fire with you. And so he's in this with you. He's been with us before, and he's going to be with us through this. So don't get preoccupied by the moment. God wants you to understand. He wants you to understand that he's bringing you to this place. But of all the generations you could live in, this is the one he has you in. He wants you to see him and experience him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to obey him and do what he calls you to do in this moment. Rise up as the people of God. And if you don't know him today, he wants you to surrender to him. Just simply say yes to him and allow him to be Lord of your life. I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pray with you. wherever you are, will you just close your eyes and pray with me? Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son and that He came to this earth to give me life, a new life. And so today I receive Jesus as my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. And anything that separates me from you, I lay it down. I don't want to miss this moment. Jesus, I'm making you Savior of my life. Amen. Amen. Listen, friend, we're rejoicing with you right now because we believe that God just changed your life forever. I'm going to ask you, if you just prayed that prayer, needed to pray that prayer, please make sure you reach out to us. You could send us a prayer request right there on the app today or right there on the website. You could send us a prayer request or let us know somehow through email or telephone number that you made the decision to follow Jesus. He's been bringing you to this place. I'm going to pray one last prayer here, and I want to pray for everybody that's watching today and you're in this distressful circumstance for a few moments. Will you fix your eyes on Jesus? For a few moments, will you just pause and allow the rest of the world to be set aside? And for a few moments, will you just trust Him and don't miss what He's doing in the middle of this? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we're living in very distressing times. And there are some people that were already stressed out and they were walking in difficulty. And now with this layered on top of it, it would be easy for them to be focused on everything else. Help us not to miss this moment. Help us not to miss the moment that you're the God who supplies, that we can trust you. Help us not to miss the moment that you're the God who you might not explain it all, but you'll be with us in it all, and that you'll keep us in the fire. Help us, Lord, to trust you, and then, Lord, help us to find those around us. Use us. As you spoke to the disciples and you're saying, you do this. Help us to reach out to neighbors and talk to friends and help us to contact those that might be alone or separated, those that are elderly and have great needs. Use us, Lord.